Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Malcolm Holnein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. The Houthis of North Yemen. The Houthis continue to pepper shipping in the Red Sea with missiles that hit what they're aiming at. These missiles, we have information that is very good. Origin is Tehran. This is the Iranian missile program passed to their surrogates, the Houthis in North Yemen, and it perhaps enhanced by the Houthis, but nonetheless, Iran is the base, and therefore we welcome Benham Bentaleblou, senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who has written much about Iranian ballistic missile program, their boasting of a hypersonic missile, perhaps supersonic missiles. In any event, Benham, the question here is, with the Houthis now challenging world shipping, the commerce of the Mediterranean basin and the Indian Ocean basin, why haven't the authorities in Europe and elsewhere sanctioned Iran for its violations? Good evening to you.
Pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me, John, and great to be with you, Malcolm, as well. Listen, this is a long-standing policy to disaggregate the threats that the Islamic Republic of Iran poses, from domestic to terror to human rights to cyber to missile to military to drone to nuclear. So many things have been sacrificed on one altar. Right now, it seems like the U.S. is in de-escalation and de-confliction mode, so it's disconnecting all of these dots, disconnecting the dots from pressure that should be applied equally, if not just substantially ramped up, for Iran and its network of terror proxies in the region, be it what Israel is fighting in Gaza, that is Hamas, be it what is to Israel's north, Lebanese Hezbollah, and most importantly right now, what's been firing on all international shipping, the Houthis of Yemen, who have Iran-supplied weapons. This pressure also does need to be applied to Iran's nuclear program, as well as the inputs or the sources for where the regime is able to get commercial technology, military-grade technology to bolster its missile and drone programs. And it's there that there is significant room for improvement for, one, transatlantic cooperation, for the Europeans to begin to target the things that the Americans have targeted, and two, to get everybody on board with seeing the Iran issue is not just regional, but global. If the proxy of the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran is able to impede global shipping at 10 to 12 to 15% at a critical point in global geography, the Strait of the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, the Red Sea, and the Gulf of Aden, imagine what happens if Iran joins in and does that in the Persian Gulf and Strait of Hormuz. Imagine if Hezbollah joins in and does that in the Eastern Mediterranean. You'd have a significant impediment of global shipping. So this is not just a regional threat, it's a global threat, and it's one that requires the Europeans and the Americans to significantly improve their posture on.
Malcolm?
Could you outline for us what are the lines that distinguish between the U.S. and the Europeans in their approach to it, to this matter? It seems that they are reluctant, the Europeans are reluctant to join even on the sanctions related to missiles that the U.S. has been proposing. And the new sanctions that have been suggested in the past in regard to Tehran, they are considering targeting the targeted sanctions, but don't seem to deliver on them. What is the cause? What is the root of the EU's reluctance?
You know, this is, as some would say, it's a philosophical reluctance to continue to escalate, to continue to use pressure. Some would say it's market-based, that they still, they might be the only party that still has hope in a revived JCPOA for economic reasons. And some would say political reasons, that, you know, they would be in opposition to this as well. You know, legacy of their softer approach towards Iran. Nonetheless, you've had the Europeans float the idea of missile sanctions for quite a while. For example, you've had the Europeans back when the U.S. was trying to fix the JCPOA in 2017, 2018 under the Trump administration. You had them dangle the prospect of new missile designations, but not do them. Right now, you have the prospect of missile designations because of the warming military relationship between Iran and Russia. It's given Russia drones, and it may give them, or it may have already given them, ballistic missiles. And again, Brussels, in particular, Joseph Borrell, is looking to block that action, looking to slow this down. So there's philosophical reasons, economic reasons, political reasons. They just have a fundamentally different conception of the threat. And one would have thought that a European audience, which only a few years ago laughed the idea of keeping an arms embargo on Iran, and less than 2.5, 3 years later has had European cities, European civilians, and European critical infrastructure targeted by lower and slower flying drones, you would think this would have kicked them into high gear to go after the networks that are supporting the proliferation of higher and faster flying missiles.
The news says that Yemen's Houthis have told China and Russia their ships won't be targeted. Okay. I come to a report recently that in addition to the $6 billion that was freed up in South Korea in some machination for hostages, an additional $10 billion was freed up in Iraq to pass into the coffers or to be available as credit to the Iranian regime. This is authored by the United States. What do we get for our $10 billion? Is there some detail we can point to?
The U.S. Unfortunately has kept a energy-related sanctions waiver for Iraq to continue to purchase Iranian energy, gas, and electricity. And the Iraqis have been able to dangle this. Pro-Iran forces in Baghdad have been able to dangle this as the prospect of, oh, help us be weaned off of Iranian energy as a way to, A, kind of allow their country to be used as a sanctions-busting loophole for the Iranians, but B, to kind of keep the flow of American interest and support and cash in their country as well as they continue to hedge. What the Iranians get is a lot more of the same because the Biden administration has actually expanded this waiver. So the regime can have more access to this cash than ever before. So this is the $10 billion right now that essentially will be able to underwrite more of the expansion of the problems we face in the region. The issue is the administration, as well as some of our partners in the region, see placating Iran in the very, very short term right now as a successful strategy. They see pay to play as a way to defer and delay the threats that the Iranians are posing, particularly in the post-October 7 Middle East. This is particularly why there was a story recently revealed about Brett McGurk speaking to an Iranian interlocutor, again, secretly through a back channel, talking about de-escalation and deconfliction. So I don't think you can divorce anything the U.S. is doing in the region, in particular things that are related to sanctions relief, without talking about 2024.
Malcolm, we have a couple of minutes.
So what is your sense now of how our allies in the region, if they look at our failure to really be able to stop the Houthis, and who seem to be adapting their tactics by targeting the ships in the way they target and having greater capacity, how are the Gulf states looking at this? Is this driving them towards Iran and to lesser reliance on the U.S. and the West?
You hit the nail right on the head, sir. In essence, the larger powers are beginning to balance out more of their relationship with the U.S., with the likes of Russia and China. And in the short to medium term, they're looking to hedge closer towards Iran. Not that they believe the Islamic Republic, but that they for a long time thought that they could find a way to get an external power to help adjudicate the conflicts that they had with the Iranians, or more aptly, that the Iranians had with them. And then the failure of the U.S. in the past decade, failure that was, you know, manifest in the JCPOA, in the politics of the Yemen war, in the politics of the U.S. leaving the region in the way it did in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, the Saudis, the Emiratis, and the others don't want to have their country be targeted more so by missiles. And now this means they are placating Tehran more so just to be able to buy time. And this is exactly where the Iranians want our partners in the region, to have to be stuck between a knife and a handshake, and have the Iranians, as well as their proxies like the Houthis or Hamas or Hezbollah or the Iraqi Shia militias, to turn on and off the conflict spigot whenever they desire.
Ben Taliblo, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Bannon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.